Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Joe Masato on the phone after the Thunder's 120-113 loss at Philadelphia. Forgive the hoarse voice. It's that time of year. But the Thunder suffer their first loss in 2020. And honestly, a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great game. I mean, first loss, and it was all kinds of notable things about this loss. It was the Thunder's first loss in Philadelphia since their first season in 2008, which is crazy
it's
to
wild.
Think about.
Yeah,
they had won 10 straight games in Philly, 20-2 all time against the Sixers before this game, and the Thunder comes in with a 5-game winning streak, and the 76ers came in with a 4-game losing streak, and so all kinds of streaks and notes, and it made for a really interesting game.
Yeah, and both teams played very well. The Thunder had a few places, obviously, that they could have cleaned up, and we'll get to those. But overall, a well-fought game, and two teams coming in, well, A, the Sixers coming in really needing a win and something to end that rough losing streak, which was their longest of the season, and the Thunder just cruising through this 5-game winning streak, and they'd played a really close game I say really close game, an overtime game in Oklahoma City earlier this season, so we knew that it could be a fun matchup, and it did not disappoint.
Yeah, and a really, really fun matchup, I thought, on an individual level with Steven Adams and Joel Embiid. And obviously Embiid is, when he's at his best, is probably the best center in the league, just so dominant with how big and how skilled he is. But Steven Adams got the best of him tonight. Adams, 9 of 14, a season-high 24 points. He had 15 rebounds. I don't know how much like Embiid's game was affected by that horrific finger injury, but he came back from that. But it was
a rough angle. So even before Embiid dislocated his finger, it seemed like he was going. The Philadelphia writers were essentially tweeting out that when he left the game, he went back to the locker room and seemed to be messing with that left hand. And then in the last couple minutes of the first quarter, he goes up, he's like defending Baisley, and he winces and he's holding his hand, and you see it on the broadcast, and his ring finger on his left hand is just at the most unnatural angle. And there was a great shot that caught Mike Muscala in the background, essentially saying, oh my gosh, like, what is that? Cleaning up potential language there. But that was my reaction too, like, oh my gosh, like,
but my first thought was like, what is Mike Muscala looking at? Like, why does he have that look on his face? And then they show Embiid, and I just cringed. Like, it was awful looking. Like, I know you can just pop it back into place and apparently he's fine, but just when I saw that, I was like, heck, if that was me, I would be out for like 3 months. but then he came back into the game right away almost. He started the second quarter.
Yeah. He looked like he was trying to pop it back in at the time and then couldn't. And so presumably got someone else to help him out and do it. But yeah, he just very calmly got his finger taped up and went back.
They defended him so well tonight.
Seven of
17. He was 0 of 3 from 3. I mean, he really like filled up his stat line, 18 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists. So he rebounded well. He passed well. He did not shoot well. And really, I thought it was even more impressive that Steven Adams had to play 35 minutes tonight because Nerlens Noel is out with that ankle sprain. Mike Muscala had some backup center minutes. Like, Philadelphia is the biggest team in the league, and the Thunder were without its backup center and still played, still out rebounded the Sixers and played really good defense on Embiid.
Yeah, and set the tone early. You had that big block from Steven Adams early in the game on Embiid, and then very soon after, he kind of gets stopped up by Steven, and Chris Paul runs in behind and picks his pocket and scores a three in transition. He scored back-to-back threes and really got the Thunder off to a good start there. And so, yeah, set that tone of really, I mean, I guess kind of overpower you. It's hard to say overpowering with Embiid, but if you could use that term, tonight would have been the one to use it, at least on offense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if this game, you know, is played like 10 times, Embiid probably wins that matchup 8 or 9 of them, but this happened to be the one or two that the Thunder stepped up and played really, really good defense against him, and really tough throughout the first half, except the last few minutes in that second quarter. You know, I was surprised to listen to Billy Donovan after the game, and when he talked about like not getting over the hump in the fourth quarter, he went further back than that and talked about the second quarter, that they never really recovered from a second quarter run that Philadelphia went on.
Yeah, the Sixers closed the half, the first half, on a 16-5 run. And like we said, it was after the Thunder had been playing really well. And Thunder was able to get back some. I mean, like we said, got the Sixers lead down to 2 points. But you look back at that stretch, and if they'd been able to stop the bleeding, so to speak, a little earlier, then you're not running into that issue where you have to come back from what ended up becoming a 14-point deficit. And we've seen the Thunder do it time and time again, but it's a tough ask in a tough arena like they have in Philadelphia, and with a big physical team like the Sixers.
Yeah, and like, you know, just I'm scrolling through the game log now, like trying to find when, you know, the Thunder went on a run in that third quarter. They outscored Philadelphia in the third quarter 34-28, but it was just like they could never, they never felt in control, or it never looked like they were in control in that second half, even as they kept cutting the lead. I went back and through the fourth quarter, 7 times they cut the lead to 2 points. And I think Nick Gallo said on the postgame broadcast that 8 times they cut it to 1 or 2 points in the fourth quarter, which is kind of remarkable to play that close for a whole quarter, but not once did the Thunder tie the game or take the lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and it started from the last time that they had led was back in that seventh quarter, mm-hmm. back in the second quarter, right before that Sixers run. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, tough environment, and 14 points is a big deficit to come back from, even though the Thunder's done it from 26, but not against the Sixers.
Yeah, maybe like Philly's lead wasn't big enough.
Yeah, they had to get it out to 20 plus.
Yeah.
Or at least
the Thunder's like, hey, we're not going to get any credit coming back from like 14. It needs to be bigger.
Right. Because they had the stat about like 15-point comebacks, and it was like, oh, just one point off, man.
Yeah. There was one play that stood out to me. It was, let's see here, with 1:12 left, I think, in the game, the Thunder were down by 6. Chris Paul drives in, floating layup over Joel Embiid, misses. Steven Adams looks like he's right there for the putback dunk to cut the lead to 4 and to make it a game. And, you know, just sort of inexplicably, he was great all night. And then this one play, it just clangs in and out of the rim and goes out of bounds. And he, you know, puts his arms up, looks like he can't believe it. And I don't know. I thought that was like very representative of the Thunder's loss. Like they were that close, just like he was on that dunk to to making that dunk, maybe winning the game, and just didn't have it at the end.
Yeah, you look at that, because Chris Paul had cut it to six with some free throws. Before that, Tobias Harris had drained a three that really made it tough with a minute to go, but still doable. But the Thunder was having to foul so much and rely on the Sixers missing their free throws. And when you're doing that, you have to make every opportunity that you have. And in that situation, that was, yeah, like you said, essentially where the game fell the rest of the way out of their hands.
Yeah, and then it was over very quickly after that, because then Tobias Harris, who was 4 of 6 from three tonight, he makes that three that basically sealed the game with 55 seconds left, put Philly up 115-106. And the 76ers, even without a dominant performance from Embiid, they kind of did it a different way tonight. They shot the ball really well from three, 13 of 26, which, you know, the Thunder shot it well from three too, 12 of 29, but they had an edge there. And I thought the one thing the Thunder did not do well is shoot free throws, just 21 of 31.
And the Sixers only had 18 free throws. So that could have been a huge advantage for the Thunder if they had been able to make more of those. You know, you can't shoot under 70% in a close game and expect to be able to overcome that. Like, having 31 free throws could have been huge. Like, that's, I mean, 10 points, you know? Like, you add 10 points, that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, and uncharacteristic misses, too. Like, Dennis Schroeder was 4 of 7. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was 2 of 5. Gallinari missed 2. Heck, Steven Adams was 6 of 8. You'll take that anytime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he was... I mean, I know we keep coming back to how well he played tonight, but he really did. And one stat that I think is particularly important is that 9 offensive rebounds, because the Thunder has not been a great offensive rebounding team this year, and he was just creating second chances all over the place, and that was really important in keeping the Thunder in this, but obviously not quite enough.
Yeah, I thought it was, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to just say this because he had his season high in points, but I think it was, might have been his best game of the year, just considering the circumstances. And like, to even be close in this game, Steven Adams had to be great without Nerlens Noel in there, and he really was. And like, you know, Mike Muscala obviously plays in a different way than Nerlens Noel, but you know, he came in there and made a three. You know, tries to defend. I mean, they're just short on bodies inside with when Noel's gone.
Yeah, and Nerlens is such a great rim protector. You look at Thunder had 3 blocks. Although Hamidou Diallo had some fantastic plays, including a block.
He was all over the place.
He is so springy. I know I used the exact same term last time, but he, yeah, it's just, we've seen it before, but we had such a long break from him that he comes back and you're like, oh yeah. That's what it's like to have that real spark plug off the bench with his dunks and his blocks and all that.
He's seemingly taken no time to like readjust. Like he's playing a lot of, he played 17 minutes tonight, and he's got that same energy and explosiveness. And you know, the Thunder's rotation has changed since he's been back. Abdel Nader did not play tonight, and if Hamidou Diallo is out, Nader obviously gets a lot of those minutes. So you know, just a tough decision that Billy Donovan has to make.
Yeah, also doesn't help Nader that the Thunder's basically just has too many shooters, right? With Muscala and Gallo in there, you've got guys at the 4 and 5 who stretch the floor, so you don't need a guy at the three also stretching the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it's either, you know, if he's a three slash maybe some 4 minutes, I mean, he's just behind guys like Hamidou Diallo and Darius Baisley, who are kind of providing similar things as far as, like, defense and rebounding and that sort of energy that the Thunder needs. So, gotta mention the local product, Josh Richardson tonight. He had 28 against the Thunder in Oklahoma City. This is the former Edmund Santa Fe standout. He had 23 tonight, 9 of 17, and led the Sixers, who were really balanced. Like, he had 23, Embiid had 18, Simmons had 17, Tobias Harris had 18, and Al Horford had 13.
Yeah, he was great, and he hit some clutch shots too. We mentioned those. Tobias Harris had a couple in the last 5 minutes or so, but right in the middle there, Josh Richardson had another shot to set up that Tobias Harris three that was such a dagger. So
yeah, and the offense went through him there in the fourth quarter. I mean, he was taking most of their shots and tied Embiid tonight with the most field goal attempts.
Props, Josh.
Way to represent against the hometown club.
Indeed. Thunder streak ends, but it wasn't like a game where the Thunder's, you know, grasping at straws is like, oh my gosh, what happened? It was like, oh, okay, they played a good game. It's easy to point out, hey, you should make some more free throws
it's
not like tough fixes or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think talking about this game the way we are, like, it just kind of proves where the Thunder is at right now, how well they're playing. Like, that we're even like, oh, they could have done this and this, and then if they did that, they could have beat the 76ers on the road. Like, this is a game that, you know, a month ago you wouldn't expect, or longer than that, I'm losing track of time, but you would not expect the Thunder to really have much of a chance in, but they have been playing so well that you think, hey, at Philadelphia, probably not likely, but sure, I guess they could win, and just a few things tonight could have changed the result.
Yeah, so now they go straight to Brooklyn, second night of a back-to-back, but a hobbled Brooklyn team.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie Irving has been out for a long time now with a shoulder injury. He just had a cortisone shot in that shoulder to try to see if he can avoid surgery, so no telling when he's going to be back.
And then Kevin Durant, friend of Oklahoma City, has been out even longer.
Yeah, with likely to be in the building but not on the court. So I think the Nets are kind of like, I mean, to a lesser extent, but like the Warriors of the East, like they're just wanting to fast forward until next year.
Yeah. So a winnable game tomorrow for the Thunder. I mean, coming home with a 3-1 record on this 4-game road trip would be good.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they did themselves favors by taking care of business in San Antonio and Cleveland and kind of give themselves a little leeway to lose a game at Philadelphia tonight. But yeah, one more game, and then it's one we've all been waiting for, the Russell Westbrook return on Thursday.
Wait, you have that circled more than the Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot reunion?
You know what? I'm just going to say TLC. I got TLC's name just three things to know about the Nets. I had to fit in TLC. He's playing like 17 minutes a game. Who knew? For the Brooklyn Nets, kind of a result of them being hurt. But yeah, he's on a two-way deal and playing pretty well.
Always liked him. Nice guy. Had some real standout games with the Thunder when he was coming in for injured guys last year.
Yeah,
for the part of the season that he was with the Thunder.
I was obviously not covering the team at that point, but saw he made one start for the Thunder last year and was like, oh, this is, you know, it's very interesting because he was, you know, traded to the Bulls and then went to the Cavs and was waived by the Cavs without playing a game and landed with the Nets and yeah, still playing. But anyway, no, I'm not looking more forward to that than the Westbrook return is the answer to your question.
No, the Westbrook return should be a good one. He obviously meant a lot to this city and gave a lot to this city, and the city gave a lot to him in the 11 years that he was here. So,
and a little bit of news today on that front. What Russell has been sitting every second night of a back-to-back this season. I think the Rockets have had four or five of those, and he's not played the second night in every one of them. And the Rockets play at Atlanta on Wednesday before they come to Oklahoma City on Thursday. And Mike D'Antoni told reporters today that Westbrook will sit on Wednesday, which almost certainly means he will play on Thursday. So,
yeah, I wonder. I mean, for that. You can't do. Oh my gosh, why am I blanking out? It's the fever. But. Load management. You can't sit someone for load management on a national TV game. So maybe the TNT part is playing to the Thunder's favor, but it would have been really a bummer.
I think it's more so the Westbrook. I mean that, but I'm sure he was like, I am not missing this chance. Like, I'll sit in Atlanta. You guys could go beat Atlanta without me, and then he gets to play the homecoming game.
Yeah, it would be quite the bummer if he didn't make an appearance.
Yeah.
On the night. So, lots of things to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in to Thunder's Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, share it with your friends, your enemies, your pets, your neighbors, your family. Subscribe, get all those people to subscribe, and we will see you tomorrow. What day of the week is that?
Tuesday
after Thunder at Brooklyn.